Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 may seem like a strange place to begin a Christmas series, but this is where it all begins. This is where God's plan of redemption begins. Does anybody know the name of the first man that God called to start a new nation? Abraham. All right. So that is who we're talking about today. And the sermon is entitled Abraham's Seed. And I'll let you figure out along the way who Abraham's seed is. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you," or literally, whoever makes light of you, whoever dishonors you, "I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Lord, would you add your blessing to the reading of this word, and I pray that your spirit would be active in our hearts today. I pray we wouldn't just be mulling things over on a cognitive level, but you'd be planting these things deeply in us to change us and to draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was growing up, the 12 days of Christmas was kind of a highlight of my parents' small group Christmas party. There was a guy named Tom, and he'd get us all together, the adults and the kids, and he'd do the actions. He made up these crazy actions for the 12 days of Christmas, everything from a goose laying an egg to ladies dancing. And you can imagine, you know, a middle-aged man being a lady dancing was quite enjoyable. But I assume you know how the song builds from just one gift on the first day of Christmas until you get to the 12th day of Christmas and it's just gone crazy. And the first day is just a partridge in a pear tree. If I'd gotten a partridge and a pear tree for Christmas, I'd feel like that was probably enough. Like, that's a pretty good gift right in itself. But the second day, you get a partridge in a pear tree and two turtle doves. And so it builds on until you wonder what in the world you're going to do with a whole marching band plus an ag department for Christmas. The gift just keeps growing. That's kind of like God's promise to Abram. These promises are pretty lofty, but even when you think that God has fulfilled them, he's not done yet. The blessing just keeps growing. So you'd think that once Israel was free from slavery, they're established in the promised land, they are a great nation, you'd figure God's promise to Abram is complete, but he's not done yet. In the New Testament, it says not only the ethnic people of Israel are the children of Abraham, but all who are justified by faith, the way that Abraham was, which means everybody who is in Christ is a child of Abraham. By the time God is finished, his blessing to Abraham is extended to every people group on earth. Now, up until the coming of Christ, God's blessing to Abraham seems like it kind of plateaued. You know, like he established Israel as a nation, he built them up, but then they kind of started to dwindle. You know, they were being ruled over by other nations. And you wonder, is God's blessing to Abraham over? Is he done blessing his people? But then one day, this long-awaited Messiah is born. And the blessing explodes to a whole new proportion until at the end of the New Testament, we're told to go out and preach the good news to all of creation, and that blessing is still growing around the world today. This Christmas season, we're going to be looking at how the Bible describes the birth of Christ as a blessing for all nations. And we're starting right here where the promise first began in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to see how Abram was called to be set apart from the nations in order to share in God's blessing so that in a roundabout way he could share that blessing with all nations. And that process is still happening in us to this day through the coming of Christ. Like Abram, you also are called to be set apart from the nations so that you can share in God's blessing, so that in turn you can take that blessing to all nations and all people groups. So the first thing Abram is ever told by God that we have recorded is leave your country, and leave your family, and be led by God. This is the scary part. This is why we talk about the faith of Abraham. And by the way, just to refresh your memory, Abraham's name was originally Abram, the short version. God changed it to Abraham, which means father of many, to reflect this promise to make him into a great nation. So I'll be using Abraham as the way we kind of remember him, and Abram as his name when he first received this promise, kind of interchangeably, but you'll notice maybe a little difference. So when God called him at the age of 75, Abram was not the father of anyone. He and his wife could not have children. And so God says to him, leave your father's house behind. Whatever family you did have, leave them behind. Leave your country, leave everything you know, and just start walking. Now, I don't know about you. I really like my Maps app on my phone. Like, before, if I don't know the place that I'm going to, if I haven't been there before, the first thing I want to do before I even start the car is I want to punch in the destination into my phone so that I've got directions and I know where I'm going. If Abram had had the Maps app 2,000 years before Jesus, he might have said to God, okay, God, I'm ready to go, but can you give me the address of where I'm going before I leave? And God would have said, nope, start driving. I'm your GPS. I'll tell you when it's time to turn. Abram left his father, probably while his father was still alive, knowing he was never going to see him again. He walked right out of his city. He walked right out of his state, out of his country, and he just kept walking. This takes some guts. The first thing that God wanted Abram to do was to be separated from all the other nations because God was going to make him into a new nation that is defined by faith. He had to surrender his identity as a Mesopotamian and even as a member of his father's household before he could become this new identity as God's people. And God requires the same thing of us. It doesn't always feel that way because we don't have to relocate geographically most of the time, but the identity shift is still there. It's the same shift that Abraham had to make because we're part of the same people that Abraham was called to become. Galatians 3 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That same promise that God made to Abraham 4,000 years ago is what we're called to be heirs of through faith in Jesus. Now you say, how can I be an heir of Abraham? I'm not Jewish. At least I'm not. Maybe you are. Maybe you've got some of that blood in you. I'm not a biological descendant of Abraham. How can I be his heir? Well, the answer is right there in Galatians 3. If you belong to Christ. See, Jesus is Abraham's biological descendant. But he's not just a descendant. He's the one specific chosen descendant that God sent to be the broker of the blessing. Galatians 3, a little bit earlier, says the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. So God made this promise to Abram to bless him and to bless all nations through him. And he had one specific descendant of Abram in mind that he was going to bring that blessing to all nations through. That was Jesus. Notice, Jesus is not plan B in God's promise or his plan of salvation. Not like, well, I tried it with Israel, that didn't work, so we got to try something else. Jesus was always plan A. The birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of the plan A that God began in Abraham. Jesus was born to make us God's people, and we become God's people by belonging to Jesus Christ, the descendant of Abraham. That's how we become heirs of the promise. So why should that mean we have to leave our country, leave our father's household? Because those things can't save us. There's no nation, no culture that you can belong to, no matter how good the principles of it might be at times, that can save you. There are always sinful attitudes that we need to surrender. Last year, I went with my kids to Washington, D.C. Very cool trip, beautiful architecture. And you probably know, does anybody know what's on top of our Capitol building where all of our laws are made? What's on the very top of that rotunda? There's a statue. Do you know what that statue represents? Freedom. This is a lady named Freedom, looking very much like a Roman goddess. Modeled after, I mean, like her helmet and everything is modeled after, who was the, Diana? I forget the Roman goddess that she was specifically modeled after. But our founding fathers essentially worshipped freedom, and some of them more than God. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. Today, that worship of the goddess freedom demands that people be allowed to sleep with whomever they want, that they be called whatever gender they want, irregardless of how God made them. Freedom is a goddess in our country. And when you become a Christian, you don't stop being an American. But you recognize that sometimes America swings away from Christ. And when it does, your first identity is in Christ. Don't let politicians, don't let the media tell you what to believe or who you are. You have to leave those things behind in order to become God's people. And even if you were born to Christian parents, I mean, parents who are followers of Jesus, if you belong to Christ, you belong first of all to Christ and not to your parents. Now, whether your parents are Christians or not, you're called to honor your father and mother. You are a member of your family, and being a Christian will make you a better member of your family, but only when first things are put first. Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And even good parents make sinful choices at times. I mean, I can't tell you how many sinful choices I have made in front of my kids. We need our identity to be rooted, first of all, in Christ, so that our compass is always pointing north and not getting pulled aside by a lesser magnet. In God's call to Abram, there's a sense of separation, being set apart from the nations. You don't live like the people around you. You don't determine right and wrong the way the people around you or even your parents say. Now, that doesn't make us loners, but we become part of a new people whose primary characteristic is that we put God first, that we belong first of all to Christ and to our Father in heaven. Like Abraham, we're not always told what turn we're going to have to take along the way. We don't know what that journey is going to look like. We just have to follow God in faith one step at a time. And yet we have this promise, secondly, that we will share in Abraham's blessing and glory in fellowship with God. We have to leave everything behind to follow Jesus, but we will share in Abraham's blessing and glory in fellowship with God. After God tells Abram, leave everything you know, start walking to literally God knows where, he says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. God knows he's asking a lot of Abraham. But there will never be a moment when Abraham is outside of God's blessing. I read an article this week about the ancient Near East where Abraham lived, and how they tended to think of blessings and curses as very mechanical, even magical. You know, like a curse was you did this ritual and you forced a god to use their god power to hurt somebody that you wanted to hurt. That's how curses worked. Blessings were basically a positive version of the same thing. They just weren't actually as common as curses were. But it's like a vending machine. You know, you punch in the number that you want, you put in the right amount of money, and you get the blessing or the curse that you want. What God promises to Abram is so much more relational and organic. Instead of a specific gift or harm in exchange for a specific act of obedience or disobedience, just living in relationship with God is the blessing. Because blessing flows out of God's nature. Being close to Him is to be blessed. It's like our song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. God is like a fountain that blessings just flow out of. And you can either live in relationship with God and receive those blessings, or you can live apart from God and miss them. Abram was being invited into that life of blessedness, walking in fellowship with God. Now, what that blessing looks like for you and me today is not exactly what it looked like for Abram. And we can get this mixed up sometimes. You know, if we or our TV preachers try to make the Christian life look like the life of an Old Testament patriarch, where, you know, we're financially wealthy, where we have military success, protection from all kinds of harm, we end up looking almost nothing like Jesus. Almost nothing like those that Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. But it's probably an even bigger mistake to swing the other direction into this very pessimistic view of life, where we expect God just to beat us within an inch of our lives just to see if we can take it. We still want to celebrate a life of fellowship with God that is fundamentally a blessed life, where God is determined to do us good no matter what happens. In what ways? Well, in fact, in a lot of the same ways that he promises to Abram. So God promises to make Abram into a great nation. And he certainly did that with the nation of Israel. I mean, numerically, they were a good size group of people, but also in their standing in the world. Now, God does not promise in Christ that we will have lots of children, that each one of us will give birth to an entire nation. And yet Jesus says, whatever you give up to follow him, whether that's parents or homes, you'll receive back 100 times. When you belong to Christ, you become part of a great nation, so to speak. You become part of this family that spans every country in the world. And we've outlasted the Roman Empire and many empires since. We've brought about reforms, built hospitals, taught literacy around the world, and changed the course of history. That's a pretty great nation to be a part of. And when Jesus comes again as king, we will inherit his kingdom. We're part of a great people. And the same people, by the way, that God started with Abraham and in Christ expanded to every corner of the globe. God also promises to make Abraham's name great. So when people think about Abraham and look at his life, they'll say, wow. Now, this might confuse us sometimes if we know the theme in the Bible of God's glory. We want to exalt God's glory. The Psalms say, not to us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory. So should God really be making Abraham's name great? Aren't we supposed to make God's name great? Doesn't that put Abraham in competition with God's glory? Not in the slightest. God's glory is not divided, it's multiplied by sharing his glory with Abraham. And he does the same thing with us. Romans 8 says we share in Jesus' sufferings in order that we may also share in Jesus' glory. God is pleased to glorify us in Christ. Jesus says we'll shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Not in competition with God, but in a way that reflects and augments his glory. But of course, more than us and more than Abraham, the Bible says it's Jesus that God has given the name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And yet even Jesus is exalted to the glory of God the Father. Overall, God says to Abram, I will bless you. That means I will speak my powerful, effective word that accomplishes good things for you. When we live in fellowship with God as an heir of Abraham, it's impossible not to share in his blessing. And you might be going through a rough patch right now, where it feels like God is out to get you. You think, why did I sign up for this? But if you belong to Christ, nothing could be further from the truth. God is determined to do you good. And if you are suffering with Christ, it's only so that you can share in his glory. But lastly, we can't forget about the outward movement of that blessing. It doesn't stop with us. Look for God's blessing to radiate from his chosen people out to all people groups. God called Abram to leave his country in order to bless all countries. And he's not the only one that God called to leave his father's household. Christmas exemplifies what may be the greatest expression of downward mobility in history, when the Son of God, 2,000 years after Abraham, was called to leave his father's throne room in heaven, leave the glory that he shared with his father, in order to bless all peoples on earth. When the shepherds saw these angels shining with the glory of heaven in the skies outside of Bethlehem, that wasn't nearly as strange as the baby that the angels sent them to go see. There, lying in a manger, was the holy, eternal God in human flesh, who left behind the glory of his throne room in order to live among us, to bring his blessing to us. Abram's blessing is both exclusive and also incredibly inclusive. It's both a rebuke and an affirmation. Verse 3, God says to Abram, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, literally, whoever makes light of you, whoever dishonors you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. If anybody rejects Abraham, God rejects them. That's pretty exclusive, right? There is no other plan for God to bless and ultimately save the world except through Abraham, whose great-great, 100 times great-grandson, Jesus, became the only Savior that God has ever provided for mankind. There is no salvation except through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Abraham's blessing is exclusive. And at the same time, this covenant is extremely inclusive. Because from one man and one clan, God's plan was to bless every tribe and nation on earth. And nobody is included just because of the nation they live in, or just because of their ethnicity. Abraham's calling was, in that sense, a rebuke to all nations. You know, Abraham had to leave the nations of the world in order to become a new nation, in order to receive God's blessing. And so do we. But his blessing is also incredibly inclusive. We can't be saved without turning from our sin. We can't be saved without turning from our allegiance to the principles of the world in order to follow Jesus. And yet this is also an affirmation of all nations, because there's no ethnicity that is excluded. There's no nation on earth that's excluded from this. All people are called to the same redemption. All along, God had in mind to take the blessing of Abraham and draw every nation and every ethnic group into it. Not a single one of us is born a Christian. You understand that? Christians are not born. They're born again. Every Christian is a convert. We were far from God, but many of us, and see if this includes you, check your heart right now. See if this includes you. We heard the call to leave the world around us to become the people of God in Christ. And like Abraham, we followed in faith. Is that you? Are you part of that people? God didn't include us because of our parents, or because of our nationality, or even because of our moral character, because we're such good people. We were outsiders too. We were outside of the covenant, outside the people of God, until God brought his blessing to us. And there are certain kinds of people that most of us are tempted to look at as what we might call them. They're not us. They are not like us. We don't expect them to follow Jesus. We don't expect them to be saved. We're just basically putting up with them until judgment day, when we won't have to deal with them anymore. And maybe that's an ethnic group. Maybe it's people who are Arabic or Chinese or another group. Or maybe it's a religion or a lifestyle, Muslims or atheists, or people who live in generational poverty. But God didn't save you because of your ethnic group or because of your social class. You were at one time one of them. You were an outsider until God called you and brought you to him. That's the whole point of Abraham's blessing. to bring this blessing to all people groups so that the people called them can become God's us. One of the things I love about the mission trips that I've been able to do the past couple of years is that I get to meet people from all over the world that the world would put in vastly different categories. I mean, right now, Russians and Ukrainians do not get along. Romanians and Gypsies and Americans. And God has brought all of us together into one people to share one blessing in Christ that we've inherited from Abraham. So when you see people who are different from you, whether because of their nationality or their political party or their social class, realize those are the ones, the people groups that God says will be blessed through Abraham, just like you have been. And even when you see people outside the church, people living far from Christ, see future recipients of the blessing. If only they would hear about it. We're often so intimidated about sharing our faith because we assume that people don't want it. We assume nothing's ever going to change their heart. Nothing we can say can change their lives. That's true. We can't do that, but the Holy Spirit can. And God is the one who has promised to take his blessing to all nations. He did it for you, and he will do it again. He's not done bringing people to Jesus. Expect people to come to Jesus. Don't imagine that Abraham's blessing is only for Abraham and for people who have already received it. God has promised that he will bring this blessing that he gives to Abraham to all people groups. Christmas is the celebration that Abraham's seed has come into the world. It's the celebration of the birth of the one who would take God's 2,000-year-old promises to one man and one nation and blow them wide open for Greeks and for Russians and for Japanese and for Kenyans and even for this remote people that didn't even exist at the time called Americans. Christ came to bring the blessing of Abraham to rich and poor, to weak and strong. He came to bring it to us. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that when we were far from you, when we were outsiders, you brought the blessing of Abraham to us. Thank you, Lord, for the birth of Jesus, who brings this blessing to the nations. Lord, I pray that we would have a deep understanding of who we are in Christ. That we are not our own, but we have been bought at a price. We belong to you. We were outsiders who have been brought near to you. And so I pray that we would look for outsiders that you're waiting to bring near. Would you draw people to you? Give us eyes to see people the way that you see them. Give us a longing to see this blessing spread to every people group. And I pray that you would use us. Lead us to step outside of our group in order to take the blessing of Abraham to the nations. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.